Replacing gold is just the start. Bitcoin isn't just a better gold. Because of its programmability, it is a platform that will host the future of money. It will disintermediate many core functions in finance. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. And just earlier today, we have crossed the Bitstamp all-time high in Bitcoin as of this recording. We haven't hit every exchange, but we have knocked out a handful of them. I think it's still BitMEX that actually made it just over $20,000. But I kind of think we're going to do it today. There's a lot of momentum. We've pulled back, but it looks like it might just keep running. So a very exciting time in Bitcoin. And since we kind of the show as well as the entire space has had an avalanche of new listeners and eyes on Bitcoin recently, this would be a great time to hit a really good introductory piece that James O'Byrne has just dropped. It's something that he said he was sending to his friends and family. And it's just a really great, simple introduction and just way to start thinking about Bitcoin. So this will be a great introductory piece for people who are just getting here and just kind of looking for the Bitcoin perspective. Really quick, a huge thank you to our sponsors for Bitcoin Audible. That is Hexa Wallet, a excellent mobile wallet that has tons of great features, and it is non-custodial. So if you have yet to hold your own keys, Hexa, H-E-X-A, Hexa Wallet is a great way to do that. And they are in beta, so they are adding new features and updating things constantly. You can check them out at guyswan.com/hexa. And Swan there is with two N's. And then our other sponsor, which I'm actually going to have the CEO of Shift Crypto on the show tomorrow. And I'm really excited. We had an awesome discussion about hardware wallets and security and all sorts of things kind of in the age of total surveillance. A really cool conversation. So I think you guys are really going to enjoy that. But that is the BitBox hardware wallet. This thing is a simple, highly secure, open source, really minimal Bitcoin hardware wallet for your savings and cold storage. And this one is excellent. Check them out at guyswan.com/bitbox. That is BitBox. All right, so let's get into this piece by James O'Byrne. And I will have links in the show notes. And of course, so that you can follow James O'B, that is his handle on Twitter. And we will dig into this after the read. So without further ado, let's jump into it. A note about Bitcoin. Friends and family, dispensation of unsolicited financial advice is a tricky thing. It's not something I'm prone to naturally, and it's a good way to look foolish. That said, here I am. I've weighed the risk of seeming uncouth against a desire to see the people I care about share in a major success. The prospect of a great return on an investment is a nice thing, but to see such a return along with many of the people you care about is wholly better. I've personally benefited from keeping an eye on Bitcoin since 2014. I wrote some of you a similar letter in 2017, back when a coin cost $3,582. As I write now, it's $17,810. The depth of my belief led me to make Bitcoin my full-time job in 2018. But what's more important, and the cause for this email, is that I have good reason to think that a big price movement is coming in the next year. Headline from NASDAQ. Citibank analyst says Bitcoin could pass $300,000 by December 2021. This is from NASDAQ. I don't think this is hyperbole. I have two takeaways. One, there is a high likelihood that the Bitcoin price will approach or surpass $100,000 per coin within the next year. And two, you should own some Bitcoin not just for the midterm price appreciation, but to safeguard against the enormous economic changes that are set to unfold over the next 5 years. In brief, Bitcoin is poised to rise in value because we are in uncharted territory. A countermeasure against currency devaluation is becoming more important than ever as the Fed and every other central bank around the world creates record amounts of new money to keep the economy on life support. Historically, gold has been the go-to defense for this scenario, but Bitcoin is quickly replacing it as a much more practical alternative. Hedge funds and money managers are quickly realizing this. Tweet from Kevin Rook. Guggenheim's $5 billion Macro Opportunities Fund wants Bitcoin exposure. On Friday, they filed an SEC amendment allowing them to invest up to 10% of their fund in GBTC. A 10% investment would be worth $487 million and would be more than $200 million larger than their next largest position. It should go without saying that my conviction carries through to my portfolio. I am over 90% in Bitcoin and continue to buy regularly. In this mail, I'll briefly talk about the backdrop for Bitcoin's rise and why we are at a critical inflection point in our monetary system. I'll talk about how I value Bitcoin and the reason next year is going to be so crazy. As you may know, our country's federal debt has been steadily accumulating over the past few decades to levels that will make repayment impossible. COVID-19 has kicked this expansion of debt into hyperdrive. The nation's debt has exploded to 140% of GDP, as the government has been faced with the impossible dilemma of both fighting the virus and preventing the country from suffering permanent economic harm. The government's answer so far, in brief, has been to turn on the printing presses while keeping everyone at home. I'm not here to make moral assessments of this solution. It is what it is. Since untethering the dollar from gold in 1971, production of dollars used to be limited by a physical commodity, the government has been able to produce currency at unlimited rates. Most people don't realize that this is a 50-year-old experiment involving money whose supply is not limited by anything. There is much more to say on the macroeconomic backdrop of Bitcoin's rise, but it's too in the weeds for many, and so I won't include it here. If you want more information, you can read my article, Bitcoin for Safety. The link for that will be included in the show notes. Nearly all of Wall Street realizes that the government has no option but to print big and keep at it indefinitely. Most have decided to shove capital into the stock market to protect their money, which explains the bizarre rise of stocks in light of the country being in a dystopic pandemic-driven lockdown. Large businesses are increasingly coming to a similar conclusion. You may have heard recently about a tech company that invested the majority of its cash treasury, $500 million, into Bitcoin. Bloomberg headline. CEO says Bitcoin is safer after moving firm's cash to crypto. Michael Saylor, MIT grad and founder and CEO of MicroStrategy, realized that the purchasing power of his company's cash reserves was eroding at a rapid clip. In recent weeks, he has spoken at length about the importance of Bitcoin and its uniqueness over any existing asset class. Tweet by Michael Saylor. I considered investing our treasury in fiat, bonds, stocks, swaps, index funds, options, real estate, commodities, precious metals, art, and intangibles before settling on Bitcoin. It seems like the ideal long-duration asset. I don't understand why anyone would want to trade it. Payments processing company Square has also adopted this rationale and has started to put some of their cash into Bitcoin. Headline. Square puts 1% of total assets in Bitcoin in a surprise $50 million investment. This will become increasingly common among businesses concerned about the effect of rapid inflation on their cash balances. because Bitcoin's supply is limited, and discovery of new Bitcoins is becoming less and less frequent over time, this heightened demand will do things to the price of Bitcoin that seem unthinkable now. Bitcoin is the only asset ever to have a truly fixed supply. Even great works of art can be fabricated. It's difficult to think through the implications of a truly fixed supply, since we're used to companies issuing more shares or governments printing more dollars. This can't happen with Bitcoin, which is what causes the price to do outrageous things. Money managers are beginning to realize this. Some of the biggest names in finance have come out in the past weeks expressing support or positive curiosity over Bitcoin. Yahoo Finance. Investor on why Bitcoin is literally the biggest story I've seen. May hit $1 million and top gold's market cap. Quote, influential investor Raoul Paul says the best trade he's ever found is Bitcoin, which he's described as a, quote, call option on the future, and, quote, the world's most pristine reserve asset. In a recent interview on Yahoo Finance, Paul said that the central bank's move toward digital currencies is literally the biggest story in his career. Raoul Paul, noted investor and founder of Real Vision, the Netflix of finance, calls Bitcoin the only trade right now. He is, quote, irresponsibly long. I linked to a video Raoul did about his thoughts on Bitcoin at the end of the email. Tweet from Raoul Paul. This is huge news. This is the largest asset management firm on Earth. 2021 is setting up to be a year of severe supply shortages versus demand in Bitcoin and upside price dislocations. It's referencing a CNBC clip of the BlackRock CIO or Chief Investment Officer of Fixed Income, Rick Ryder, talking about Bitcoin replacing gold on CNBC. Paul Tudor Jones, one of the most successful hedge fund managers alive, has recently come out in strong support of Bitcoin. He has 2% of his assets invested. Paul Tudor Jones, according to Wikipedia, born September 28, 1954, is an American billionaire hedge fund manager, conservationist, and philanthropist. In 1980, he founded his hedge fund, Tudor Investment Corporation, an asset management firm headquartered in Stamford, Connecticut. 8 years later, he founded the Robin Hood Foundation, which focuses on poverty reduction. Paul said, quote, back in March and April, it became really apparent, given the monetary policy that was being pursued by the Fed, the incredible quantitative easing they were doing and other central banks were doing, that we were in an unprecedented time, he explained. Noting additional problems brought about by the COVID-19 pandemic, he said, one had to begin to think about how you defend yourself against inflation. I came to the conclusion that Bitcoin was going to be the best of inflation trades, the defensive trades that you would make. Examining the overall market caps and characteristics of all inflation trades, he said that Bitcoin has a very small coterie of people investing in it. It was portable, it was liquid, had a variety of characteristics that made it a great inflation hedge. While Jones pointed out that the one thing it, Bitcoin, didn't have is it didn't have integrity and long-term staying power, he emphasized that every day that goes by, of course, it gains on that. It gains on credibility and integrity. Markets headline. Paul Tudor Jones says he likes Bitcoin even more now. The rally is still in the first inning. Stan Druckenmiller, another Wall Street luminary, has revealed he's been buying Bitcoin recently. Stan's fund, per Wikipedia, has, quote, posted an average annual return of 30% without any money-losing year for 30 years. From CoinDesk, billionaire U.S. investor Stanley Druckenmiller, who just weeks ago was said to be shorting the dollar, is long on Bitcoin. Druckenmiller said on CNBC Monday he owns Bitcoin, becoming the latest high-profile, ultra-high-net-worth investor to get in on the benchmark digital currency. Though he said his gold position is many, many more times larger than his Bitcoin allocation, Druckenmiller predicted his Bitcoin would outperform. Frankly, if the gold bet works, the Bitcoin bet will probably work better because it's thinner, more illiquid, and has a lot more beta to it. It has a lot of attraction as a store of value to both millennials and the new West Coast money, and as you know, they have a lot of it. Raoul Paul remarked that, quote, "The significance of the world's greatest and most respected money manager, Stan Druckenmiller, saying just now that he is long Bitcoin, cannot be overstated. That has removed every obstacle for any hedge fund or endowment to invest." End quote. The point is, this narrative is spreading quickly through the finance community. Bitcoin is in the early days of being accepted as the successor to gold at a time when the role of gold is increasingly critical for protecting wealth. If you take gold's conservative market cap of $7 trillion and divide that over Bitcoin's 21 million fixed supply, you get a price of $333,333 per coin. Even assuming Bitcoin takes just 10% of gold's market cap, that's $33,333 per coin. Gold is venerable, but outdated. I've bought and sold a lot of it in the past year, and obtaining physical gold and then selling it was an absolute pain. Bitcoin is way more practical. And replacing gold is just the start. Bitcoin isn't just a better gold. Because of its programmability, it's a platform that will host the future of money. It will disintermediate many core functions in finance. You might have questions like, if Bitcoin is digital, how can there only ever be 21 million? Can't anyone just copy the source code and make their own Bitcoin? I'm happy to do a follow-up on why Bitcoin is scarce, but I don't want to belabor details here that most might be uninterested in. As a relative expert in computers, I can say that Bitcoin is a genuine technological breakthrough, and it is indeed scarce. There will only ever be 21 million. So why is Bitcoin on the rise in the next year? Why are you sending me this email now? The new narrative about Bitcoin circulating among finance professionals isn't the only thing at work here. There is an inherent property of Bitcoin that creates a recurring cycle of demand called the halving. Every 4 years, the rate at which new Bitcoin is discovered halves. Since 2009, this has created a roughly 4-year cycle that results in a wild price run-up about a year after the halving, which most recently happened a few months ago. The effect of the halving is that there is less Bitcoin to be sold as demand is held constant or increases. That causes the price to shoot up, which causes demand to shoot up, which causes the price to shoot up, which... And here we actually have a chart of the Bitcoin price overlaid with the previous halvings and subsequent bull markets. I'm not really going to describe it other than it shows that the historical trend leads us to a bull market following the halving. I encourage you to go to this actual document and look at this so you can get an idea of what he's describing. But the description of the chart reads as follows. We are on the orange line right now. Note that this is a log scale chart, and if Bitcoin follows previous trends, we're looking at a coin price in the $200,000 to $300,000 range. We are on course for some wild price appreciation in the next year, and I wanted to make sure to send out this warning before the fireworks start in earnest. Bitcoin might reach upwards of $120,000 per coin during this cycle. Some speculate that because of acceptance from the traditional finance crowd, this may be the last such cycle, and the price just won't come back, as it has in previous seasons. Bitcoin as diversification. It took me a while to understand that this moon math is credible, so I get it if you don't take it seriously. You'll see over the next year. If not, you can simply think of Bitcoin as an excellent portfolio diversifier. A tweet from Plan B. Why should I ever hold stocks? 5% Bitcoin plus 95% cash outperforms stocks on risk and return every year for the past 6 years. And then he's got a chart of a four-year investment period showing the return on a portfolio that is held 95% just in dollars and the other 5% in Bitcoin, and comparing it to stocks. Bitcoin is one of the few financial assets that you can buy that has been shown to be uncorrelated to other asset classes. Easy for you to say all this, you bought Bitcoin when it was $200. When I first bought Bitcoin, I bought the top. The year was 2014, and I bought Bitcoin for around $1,000 a coin. Then it crashed to $200 and stayed in that range for years. I looked like an idiot, but I kept buying because I understood many of the mechanics I outlined above. In 2016 and 17, I piled into Bitcoin as the price broke all-time highs of $1,200 and shot up to $20,000 over the course of the year. It crashed down to $3,000, and while I did some ill-advised trading and lost some Bitcoin, I kept buying. When the price was at $19,000 last week, I was buying. I've sold other assets to pile into Bitcoin at these prices. They may seem high, but in a year, they will look like a bargain. People will be talking about how you could once buy a Bitcoin for $20,000 the same way I just mentioned that there was a day when I was buying a $200 Bitcoin. I regret every sale of Bitcoin I've made so far. So what are some other good resources? There's a 3-minute clip from finance bro Anthony Pompliano explaining the new demand for Bitcoin on CNBC, link included. 8 minutes of Michael Saylor of MicroStrategy on CNBC on why the company put $500 million into Bitcoin. 30 minutes, Raoul Paul on the Bitcoin life raft. 1 hour, a longer discussion with Michael Saylor. An article, Misconceptions About Bitcoin, by investment advisor Lynn Alden, published a few days ago. And my article, Bitcoin for Safety. Okay, how can I buy a little? I recommend allocating anywhere from 1 to 5% of your portfolio to Bitcoin. This is low enough that you can ride out any price swings and hang on for the long term, but high enough that you'll be exposed to any massive upside. I personally recommend River.com. If they aren't available in your state, Coinbase.com is a fine choice. Or you can use Square's Cash App for smallish purchases. I haven't tried SwanBitcoin.com yet, but it seems good. If you're going to be buying and holding a sizable chunk of Bitcoin, say over $10,000, you should really consider custodying it yourself with what's called a hardware wallet. I'm happy to help any of you with this. Just send me an email. My advice is not to wait. There were many people who thought the price was just a little too high at $200, $1,200, or $12,000, and decided to wait for a pullback that never came. In closing, I am relieved to be finishing and finally distributing this email. I don't particularly like giving sales pitches, but it has weighed on me that I haven't sent out an email like this earlier. I want to encourage participation in what is not only the emergence of a new financial asset class that I think will perform tremendously, but a defense against some very strange times to come. If I can answer any questions, let me know. James. All right, great little introduction. This will probably be a really good one to share out to people who are just kind of finding their way to Bitcoin and trying to make sense of it. And I have this exact same problem of like feeling like a salesman, and like I hate that feeling about it, but I go through the same conflicting like thoughts of like, but it seems so stupid not to tell somebody about this because it is such a huge opportunity. And am I going to feel worse about feeling like an idiot by soliciting unsolicited financial advice to friends and family, or am I going to feel worse by seeing them miss out on it and then come at me afterward and hate me for not saying anything about it? So I'm right there with James on that one. But a number of things that he actually has linked to in this little thing we have actually in audio. I could have sworn I read Bitcoin for Safety. It's such a great piece. But after digging back through it, I looked through the episodes and then went back through the article. And I realized I probably don't have audio for it, because I think I actually remember this, is that there were just so many visuals and charts kind of demonstrating it that it just seemed like a huge headache to try to figure out and or just skip all of that kind of crucial to the argument content. But I definitely recommend that one. Bitcoin for Safety is a great piece that James wrote. But also the misconceptions about Bitcoin that Lynn Alden wrote very recently, we also very recently did on the show. That's only like a handful of episodes back. That is definitely a great one for hitting some main points about Bitcoin that are commonly either misunderstood or misapplied, and how to really look at Bitcoin from an investment perspective. She has a great piece on that one. So I will link to that in the show notes, and I will try to have all of these links. There's going to be a lot in the show notes on this one to check out and do a lot more digging. But this is exactly that sort of episode. I will say, I agree, river.com, for, how to buy a little bit. River.com is a great option. And I will also stand by swanbitcoin.com. They have been a godsend for me. I'm so happy to be able to just have an auto stack, and I am using them and have been using them, basically since they were available to me. And I have a reference link if you want to get, $10 free. Just for signing up, swanbitcoin.com/guy. It'll actually both support the Bitcoin Audible podcast and, again, get you $10 free in Bitcoin to start off. And I have literally set up a number of my friends and family with Swan Bitcoin because I think they're a great service for exactly that, particularly for the long-term position of getting into Bitcoin. So these are all great resources, and he has a lot of great recommendations, and there's so many different ways to go deeper down the rabbit hole. Obviously, Bitcoin Audible, prime example, anything and everything that you can think of that you could read in Bitcoin is made audible right here at the Bitcoin Audible podcast. And if it isn't, and it's something that you really want to dive into, absolutely shoot me a message on Twitter and let me know. I love suggestions, particularly when I know it's something that you guys want to listen to. Now, let's hit our sponsor for today's show, which is Hexa Wallet, H-E-X-A. And, inevitably, most people hold their first Bitcoin on their mobile phone. Honestly, there are a lot of dangerous and scammy wallets out there. So a really good one to use is Hexa Wallet. It's non-custodial, has multiple accounts, has built-in batching so you can send multiple transactions at once and save a lot on fees. It has a seedless backup system where you actually split your keys up across contacts and multiple locations so that even if you lose your phone, you don't lose your Bitcoin. And they are in beta, so there are tons of new features and things being added and updated all the time. So check them out at guyswan, that's swan with two n's, .com/hexa, and you can find out all about them. Now, let's dig into this a little bit. So one of the big things, the huge change that has happened in 2020 and that is going to be a massive effect in the price of Bitcoin in 2021 and continuously, I think this bull run is literally going to melt faces. It's going to seem shocking and impossible the way this will move, because just having 1-5% of a lot of major portfolios looking at this thing and allocating toward Bitcoin is going to represent a huge move in the price. And this, the narrative truly has changed around this. Nobody in the legacy markets, like on CNBC, you get barely a handful of people in that area of finance who were talking about Bitcoin 2-3 years ago. And now it's constant. Every couple of weeks, another major name has either turned their head and started looking at Bitcoin a second time and reconsidering it, or have literally come out in full support of it. And we've actually got another one today. There's an article that just dropped from Bloomberg. Where is my notes? And this is about it's the COVID-19 monetary revolution, and how Bitcoin is basically poised to win this thing. It still has a couple of errors. I haven't read the entire thing. And there's definitely some framing that I think is incorrect, and they should definitely listen to Bitcoin Audible to find out where they are wrong. But this is by Niall Ferguson. Not sure if I'm saying that name right, but Ferguson is a contributor to Bloomberg and a columnist for Newsweek, and is apparently really influential in financial and investment circles. But basically, add him to this list of people taking a very serious look at Bitcoin and realizing just how powerful of a move this is. And I think Michael Saylor really kind of got everyone to turn their heads. Is everyone who was potentially considering it, I say it, that you get the social permission to do something. Like, let's say a light, like at a crosswalk, the little walk light is broken or something, and it's just sitting there and saying nobody walk, and you got like a group of like 50 people standing there just waiting, and there are no cars or anything. It seems like a perfectly sensible time to walk, but nobody moves. Then one person starts to walk, and they essentially give the social permission to everyone else to be like, yeah, this thing's broken, like we're just moving. And that one person causes the entire group to just basically start walking across the street. But you need that one person through the wall to take the first step to essentially make it okay for everyone else to join in. And in that, Michael Saylor, I really think, has been that for the corporate and a large like hedge fund and investment manager environment. The legacy finance world was waiting for someone to really make a bold move in that way to legitimize this, and that has happened. And I think that's what we're seeing in this current run. I think that's why we touched and passed a handful, basically the all-time high today, or at least on a number of exchanges, and I think we're going to keep going for a little while. Obviously, we'll have a pullback at some point. We always do. But I think we are absolutely poised for a incredibly significant year in Bitcoin, and it becomes a massive player on the entire global stage, both geopolitically as well as just in a general financial tools aspect, I guess you could say. Its programmability, like some of the things being built with this right now, like we're going to have, this is going to lead to extremely novel, like never been done before, financial instruments and systems. And it is truly going to, as James said in this piece, that it's going to disintermediate a lot of the core financial functions. Without a doubt, financial institutions, a lot of companies and financial institutions that think they have a critical role that are simply middlemen are going to disappear. What has happened with the internet and media, cutting out middlemen all across the board, cutting out certain retailers, cutting out publishers, cutting out record labels, anything and everything you can think of, all the things that the internet has disrupted, we are about to see this same thing happen in finance. And all the pieces of this are already in place. What we're seeing with the Lightning Network, which is a payment network on top of Bitcoin, is doing this very thing in kind of a micro system right now. One, they've got a completely unique financial service. So think about like trying to provide liquidity for a market and being able to quote unquote loan your funds to somebody else in the financial market. You have a custodian, right? You give your money to somebody else. They find the buyer. They take huge fees out of the middle. You have to trust them with your money. Then you have to trust the other person with your money. If anything goes wrong, you hope that you can get your money back, but it's all at risk. They pay you an interest rate, and they do so by charging a higher rate to the borrower and then giving you a cut, essentially. Well, now you can do this in a completely non-custodial way. On the Lightning Network, you need bandwidth. You need other people's Bitcoin to offer up as a potential way to receive money on Lightning. And they have actually created a way to do this without a financial intermediary, without someone actually taking control of your coins. You can offer it up for an explicit rate to anybody who is willing to pay for that bandwidth so that they can receive payments at their store or at their service or for their product, whatever it is, and that you can do this totally without having to give them your money and without having to trust them. Then we've got things like Sphinx, which is a chat app built on Lightning that's fully encrypted and running over a fully decentralized infrastructure. All of the Lightning nodes are actually the ones sending and receiving or basically making those messages reach their destination. And at the exact same time, the users in my Sphinx tribe are able to listen to my podcast and stream sats, stream Bitcoin payments to me every single minute. So you set how much you want to contribute per minute, and you can listen to the podcast within the app, and it just automatically pays out for every minute. So if the show gets boring or you're just done listening to it, maybe you just only wanted to listen to the read and you didn't want to hear Guy's take, which is absolutely terrible. I don't know why you would do that. Guy's take is the best part. But let's say you did want to do that. You could just stop listening. You could stop listening and you only contribute for the part of the show that you actually listen to. This is happening right now. And not only that, after I talked to Adam Curry, who is embracing this, like really building out this system with his podcasting 2.0 platform, which is integrating this Bitcoin and Lightning payment system as well, is that you can totally cut out the middleman in royalty payments. Is that you can do it per episode. You can automatically have it so people are paying out to anyone and everyone who is sharing in the revenue for the episode. Maybe somebody invested, maybe one of your friends invested to keep you, paid to have this episode published today. And they were just doing it on the fact that, you know, people will stream it and listen to your show. And so you're like, all right, well, I'll give you 10% of anything that comes in on this show. And then you've got an example of somebody who did the artwork for the show, or whichever podcast app someone is listening to. You can automatically have it divide up. You can give 1% to the podcast app that they're listening to it on. You can give 5% to whoever did your artwork. And that this can be done automatically just in your RSS feed, just in the details of your podcast episode, and it will automatically pay out. So if somebody was doing 100 sats per minute to my show, and I did 5% to the artwork, 5% to the guy I've got formatting and doing all the episode details, and then 1% to the podcast app, everybody would get their cut immediately. It would automatically send 5 sats to one, 5 to the other, 89 to me, and 1% or 1 sat to the podcast app, and it would happen every single minute automatically. You can't do that with any other platform. You can't do that without a financial intermediary. You have to have a service that integrates with everyone. Everybody has to have an account equally with that service. You have to have a huge centralized infrastructure and institution that manages all of this, and undoubtedly, to do it, they're going to take a huge cut. And this is done entirely without them. This is done entirely peer-to-peer and without any custodians or any financial intermediary at all. And this is just the beginning. We can literally build anything. The same system that is done using the by offering the liquidity services that I was talking about just a minute ago, can be done to run any application you want on top of Bitcoin. You basically lift Bitcoin up into this application. You can run any sort of program or a financial service or anything like that. And it's still, again, non-custodial. You always have, if something goes wrong, you always have the option to back out of it. It just takes a, what's referred to as a time lock. There's simply an amount of time that you have to wait before you get your funds back if something goes wrong. But you can run anything, any smart contract, any derivative, any options, a decentralized exchange, whatever you want. And this is going to accelerate. So this is not like just the narrative of it as a good store of value, just the narrative that, you know, 1% or 5% of your portfolio has a great investment hedge as an option. Just the fact that corporate treasuries and large investment advisors are really taking a serious look at Bitcoin as a long-term allocation, that alone is going to cause a massive bull market. But then you take into account all of this that's happening with Lightning. You take into account specifically what we can build with this thing. And I think you're looking at doubling that potential at the exact same time. Bitcoin is about to make massive waves, and it is going to come into the global sphere very quickly and in just, I think, a shocking way. And I really don't think people are expecting it. And the craziest thing about all of this is that the economics and the game theory has been there all along. Like, we have been talking about this and laying out how this could happen and what it might look like. And for 8 years, 8-9 years, and that if Bitcoin continued to survive, that this was essentially inevitable. There simply has never been the thing that he stresses, that James stresses in this piece, that I think is so hard for people to grasp because we just don't have any frame of reference for it. We have nothing to compare it to, is a money that has a 100% unalterable fixed supply. There will be 21 million and nothing else. And if you want to really get into why, if you want to understand the inner workings, I did an audiobook for Jan Pritzker's. Jan Pritzker's actually one of the guys running Swan Bitcoin, actually. Another shout out to those guys. But Jan is amazing at explaining this, and he really takes a deep dive into the technical side without any technical terms, without any of the technical like jargon and stuff. He explains how Bitcoin works from a very, very high level picture so that basically anybody can understand it. And he does it in a book called Inventing Bitcoin. I did the audiobook for it and I highly, highly recommend it if you really want to go there and figure out why it is that Bitcoin only has 21 million, why it is, what is proof of work, how is it decentralized, all of this stuff that might seem really complicated. He just does a great job of breaking it down in very simple to understand terms and analogies. So highly recommend that one. The show notes for this will literally be a veritable like book of all the things that you should check out. Lots of links in this one. And other things to check out. We will go ahead and close this here. I will just reinforce his main point that I think 2021 is going to be an insane year. We have really entered into a new phase of Bitcoin, and I genuinely think anything below $100,000 is cheap Bitcoin right now. And that's just on the shorter time frames. That's just on the next couple of years. I see this as, 10, 20 years out, this is going to be as important as the internet, as important as the internet is in communication, in media, in retail, and all of those other industries that it has basically wiped the floor with, and literally knocked out 100-year incumbents. I think Bitcoin is going to do that to the entire financial world in a way that will be hard to comprehend as it happens. It will be crazy. It will be exciting. And it will be a little bit frightening. So learn everything you can and go ahead and start digging into it before the avalanche starts. And when he talks about in this piece about getting a hardware wallet, one of our sponsors is actually a wonderful option for this, the BitBox. Really, they genuinely have one of, if not the most user-friendly and simple hardware wallets that you can get for your savings and cold storage, especially if you're new to the space and a little bit unfamiliar. And we really get into this in tomorrow's episode. I spoke with the CEO and we just kind of went into hardware wallets and kind of the state of the world right now and why security is so important. So that is definitely something to think about. And, you know, if you're putting in a significant amount of money, you gotta really learn how to hold your own Bitcoin. If you're doing just a small amount, you know, you're just kind of dipping your toe in the water, it's totally fine to use a custodian. You know, use Cash App, use Swan Bitcoin. Again, swanbitcoin.com/guy gets you $10. Use river.com, whatever it is. But if you're holding a significant amount, something that could really be a problem if you lost it, you know, and you're not doing this lightly, you know, you're really putting a significant portion of your portfolio there, you should take the time to learn how to hold your own keys and get a hardware wallet like the BitBox. And if you want to hold your own keys with a small amount, you want to just hold it on mobile, Hexa Wallet is a wonderful wallet to use. There are a lot of great wallets actually out there, but Hexa has multiple accounts, a built-in batching, which is a godsend for sending out a lot of transactions and saving money when you're sending it to other people in your contacts list or to other accounts that you have. So that is definitely one to check out. GuySwan.com/Hexa will take you to those guys. And thank you to them for supporting the show. And, you know, I'll actually have a, I'll put in a lot of, I only use a handful of actually like full-on mobile wallets these days, Hexa being one of them. But I'll put like a list of kind of the most common apps and things that I use for people in this list. I'll try to make this kind of a decent go-to in the show notes for taking a deeper dive down the rabbit hole and finding all the tools and services to start with. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to Bitcoin Audible and you will get everything and anything you wanted to learn or know about Bitcoin. And there is a huge backlog of, arsenal, a library of content that we already have for anything you want to dig into in the past. And you can find that on bitcoinaudible.com. We finally have almost every episode categorized and organized. There's still a lot of things to do on the website, but at least all of the episodes and the show notes are up there pretty much. And you can just easily search for anything if you're looking for something about Bitcoin's energy consumption or proof of work or the technology, or you've got like some particular author that you want to dig into. You can just search that at bitcoinaudible.com and we literally have it all. And I want to share one more thing for those who want to really take a deep dive and learn about Bitcoin as quickly as they can. And this isn't an affiliate or anything like this. This is just something that I think is going to be a really cool deep dive into Bitcoin. It is a class that is happening on December 12th and 13th. It's going to have Dan Held, John Vallis, Gigi, Max Hillebrand, Eric Kaysen, Robert Breedlove. Everybody we have either read or had or done shows with. I mean, these are huge people in Bitcoin who know damn near everything. Any question that you could possibly ask, these guys can answer it. He has given me a discount code that you can use that'll save you 21%. If you want to be in this class, you can either just observe it or you can get an interactive seat so that you can ask them during these sessions and just chat with these people and ask any questions about how does Bitcoin work or like what is the philosophy behind it? How do I buy it? All these things. This is going to be a deep dive and it is on the bitcoinpath.com, the cosmic deep dive into Bitcoin. But you can find it, I will link to it from guyswan.com/deepdive. So if you're ready to kind of take that next leap and you really just want to dive in head first, this could be a really, really good option. And a 21% discount is pretty awesome. Oh, and that is with the discount code GuySwann, all one word, GUYSWANN. So if you want to do that, don't forget the discount code. Link to all that fancy stuff in the show notes. All right, guys, I am out. Let's close this episode. Thank you so much for listening to Bitcoin Audible. Do not forget to share this out with everybody you know. And happy all-time high to everybody who stuck it out earned their bear market badge. And I will catch you all tomorrow with another episode of Bitcoin Audible. And until then, take it easy, guys. This has been a 111 production, and you were listening to Bitcoin Audible on the Cryptoeconomy Network.